Amen. Just make this a little bit bigger. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day and for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for watching over us and promising us good health, promising us peace, and promising that we would be conformed to your image, the image that you presented in your Son Jesus, and that you have come in this hour to work in us to will and to do. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue from the thoughts that we took last week from Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God, where in paragraph 121 he said, "We in him." Then we being in him, we're still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See, our glory that we have and enjoy, we are still veiled to them, outsiders. Well, they think we're crazy and not again. See, that's right. But we who are in here, in Christ, baptized into him, 1 Corinthians 12, into him we are partakers of this glory. See, but not on the outside, you're still looking in, denying it. See, so now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. I want you to just think about those words. We are invited to be partakers of all that he is. Well, he is the God that healeth all our diseases. We're partakers of that. He is the God who's our buckler and our shield. We're partakers of that. You see, we're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. You see, they look at your flesh, amen. You look at your personality, the way you dress. It doesn't come up to their standard, to their style. And it veils the mighty God. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers. By the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory, they read of it. It's in the word here, and the glory of God and the things like that is just a word to them. But to us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. God said that there be light. That was a word, but now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? Now, it isn't just a written word to us, it's a reality. We are in him, but now we're enjoying him. Now we behold him. Now we see him. The Word manifesting himself. Remember Jesus said, "In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, Father me, and you, you in me." Remember also that he said that they didn't know him, and therefore they're not going to know you. We have a reflection of God in us, manifesting not only to us in this hour, but in us and through us. And yet to the world, it's disgusting. They want you to become some sandwich. Bacon, lettuce, tomato, whatever. So, last week we talked to the Word of God becoming a reality to us by the manifestation of His Word to us and in us. And Brother Branham taught us that God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. We spent a significant portion of our message last week showing that the reality of God's Word is the manifestation of that Word, and it is the interpretation of God's Word to us and in us. And as you may have noted this morning, as we read again from paragraph 121, Brother Branham said that we are invited into Christ to be partakers of all that He is. We saw how Brother Branham spoke of how, in order for us to become what God ordained for us to become, it must come according to the blueprint which is God's Word. He said, well, you see, if you're not inside the veil, you don't know nothing about it. See, Christ is the Word. And when we're in the Word, we're in Christ. And how can I be in Christ denying Christ? It's He that said, not one word shall be added or taken from. How can you take from and add to then? See, it shows you what veil that's got you veiled away. See? And so we looked at the blueprint evolving from a thought first to a spoken word and then to manifestation, which brings the thought into reality. And we looked at the process of God's Word evolving and the cycle and turns that it takes as it evolves from thought to word to manifestation to reality. And that is what I wish to speak on today. Now remember, Brother Branham spoke a beautiful message called The Masterpiece, and we took about 145 sermons on it. And Brother Branham was talking about the masterpiece today is the bride. He was pointing to the masterpiece, Christ, that was stricken, like Michelangelo struck the veil of Moses, or the statue of Moses, when he saw every attribute he could see in his mind was put into that stone, and he struck it and said, speak. And today, God's masterpiece is a bride. Now, you might look at yourself in the mirror, and I do, and I just say, oh, you know, I you know, you might look at this veil of whatever, protoplasmic, whatever. And you might not be so happy with what you see, but on the inside of that veil, on the inside of that flesh, there's a God Son. Yeah. A God Son. A Son of God. Now remember, if a man comes in the image of his father, then the image that's being formed in there is God. Hallelujah. The attributes of God. So we looked at the blueprint evolving from a thought first to a spoken word, then to manifestation, which brings the thought into a reality. And we looked at the process of God's evolving and the cycle and turns that it takes as it evolves from thought to word to manifestation to reality. That's what I wish has begun today. Now, we're going to look at the scripture in just a moment where God talks about how he in sundry time in diverse manners, diverse, different kinds of manners, spake in the prophets. God evolving. See? If you remember in the sermon, The Masterpiece, Brother Branham spoke of this process of God becoming. He used the illustration of Michelangelo and showed how he had thought. He had a thought in his mind of what Moses would look like. Then he searched for a piece of marble that had all the attributes and characteristics that he thought would portray Moses. Then he began to work on that thought in his mind of what Moses must have looked like. And when his work in marble came to the place that it reflected the thoughts that were in his mind, he was so elated he struck the knee with a hammer and said, speak. And so the flaw made by the hammer is an everlasting sign that Moses' masterpiece was indeed an expression of the thought attributes that were in Michelangelo's mind first and then carved into the piece of marble. Now, it is the flaws that we have in our marble, in our clay, that makes the masterpiece of God in marble. Because God is hidden in simplicity. God can hide his creation, his sons, his daughters, in a piece of clay that has cracks in it or has a chip off of it or those things. Everybody else, they look at the chip. Well, if it would have been a masterpiece, it would have a chip. No, Brother Roger, that's what made it a masterpiece. Because it showed through the ecstatic, emotional outburst from Michelangelo that was exactly what had come forth from his mind. Then we took you to the invisible union of the bride. And listen, if Jesus didn't have those nail-scarred hands, nail-scarred feet, remember the scripture says they pierced me and they my hands, my feet, they have pierced. If he didn't have those, the masterpiece would not have been complete. If you didn't have the human flaws you're born with and overcome by the washing of the water by the word, the masterpiece could not be complete. You see, it's God working in you to will and to do. It's not you working to will. You've tried in your own different ways. You've tried. You can't do it. But he can. Then we took you to the invisible union of the bride where Brother Ram said Christ was the living word. He always was the word. He's still the word. He always will be the word. Showing you that the pattern for all sons can never change. And therefore, if the firstborn son was a certain way, then all sons will have to be manifest the same way or they were not in the blueprint of God to begin with. So we are looking at the evolutionary way of God bringing forth sons of God into manifestation. Because after all, what good does it do you and me to talk about what Jesus was like if we are not to become like him? And what good does it do for you and me to wish that you were more like William Branham, who we knew was like Christ, if it is an impossible thing to think that it could ever happen for you and for me. The only thing you got to do is to die to yourself.
Right.
Now remember, Brother Ramsey, the greatest gift is to get yourself out of the way. If you're going to look for any gift, pray for that gift. Father, help me to get myself out of the way. What good would it do to believe that we are to live forever in our old, crusty, and hapless ways? It would make me nervous. But God said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end." He also said in Acts 17:28, "For in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices." In other words, if we are His offspring from Him, then we ought to think of Him in terms of what we are growing up to be. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Father." And the Apostle John told us in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. But, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, at His appearing, we shall be like Him. When He phanerous, we shall phanerous like for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure." We want to be more and more like Him. How we purify ourselves? By the washing of water by the Word. So we're looking at growing up into the image of the Father, just like Jesus grew up more and more into the very image of the Father. And the Apostle Paul told us that we are to grow up into Christ in all things, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting, the completing, the finishing off of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we come into the very character of Christ, that's what it says. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sway of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things. Into Him, not unto Him, into Him. Why? Because the head has got to fit the body. The body has got to fit the head, which is the head, even Christ, He says. In other words, you can't put a full grown person's head on a little baby. It wouldn't look right. It wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't fit right. It wouldn't be supported by the body. But when the body is fully mature, it'll support the head, and that's what God wants in His children, to support it, to stand behind everything He says. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, Brother Ram continues, "He was only the manifestation of the attributes of God, for He was the Son of God, and any son is the attributes of his Father." Jesus Christ was the manifestation of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was the manifestation of that Word. You and I are the manifestation of that Word. I hope you caught what Brother Ram was saying here, because he's speaking of the manifestation of God's life in a son. Any son is a manifestation of the attributes of God. And what are the attributes of God? His doxa. His opinions, His attributes, His judgments. That is exactly what Brother Ram is telling us here in the paragraph. So let's read on carefully and you'll see what I mean. Now, what we are looking to be conformed to His image, it means that His doxa, His opinions, become our opinions. His values have become your values. I can look out at every one of you and I know where you came from. I know where you are today. And I can see the values have changed. I can see the holiness has changed. I can see your life has changed. Even your sisters, the way you dress has changed. Your hair is an expression of the Word. You know that? The way you dress is an expression of the Word. That's right. So, you are manifesting His Word through the way you live, the way you speak, the way you conduct yourselves. Now, Brother Brown continues, and just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father when he was a young boy, you were in him, yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of the mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father. Then he could fellowship with you. And so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there even was a moon, star, or a molecule. You were sons and daughters of God, but you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. Well, what are the attributes? Brother, that's attributes or thoughts. You are the physical manifestation of the attributes, of the thoughts of God before the foundations of the world. Now, back to what Brother Brown was telling us here, he said, for there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you before. You don't know nothing about it, neither did I, when you were in your earthly father, but you're manifested in his image. In the image of God, you're made. And you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. Well, let's just look at that word glory. You were manifested for what? To reflect his opinions, to reflect his values, to reflect his judgments. You see? Now notice that you're manifested in his image. Now remember, the thought had to be there before it could be manifested. And remember, God's image is what? He is the Word. God is Spirit. They that worship him in spirit and in truth. So when the man Jesus was born, the baby, and then when God entered him at a fully mature adult age of 30, what happened? You saw God from that point on. Not one miracle beforehand. Now, miracle after miracle after miracle. Raising the dead, changing nature, everything else. It was God. Yet God's invisible. Yet God used that house of clay. That marble like Michelangelo used. God used that to express himself to the world. And he's doing it today to you and I. And it had to be expressed in the form of the Word. Notice that you're manifested in his image. Now remember, the thought had to be there before it could be manifested. And it had to be expressed in the form of the Word, the blueprint, before it could materialize and become manifested. But when it does manifest, it becomes a reality of what the written Word spoke of. And whose image are we manifested into? His image. God's image. God becoming flesh in your flesh and mine. And the Word became flesh. Now remember, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The Word. What is faith? Revelation. Revelation cometh by hearing the Word. And what does it do? It manifests in your flesh. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The hope of doxa. The hope of his opinions, the hope of his values and judgments being expressed in another vessel called a son, called a daughter. But it all began back in the mind of God, and so we're going to look this morning at the evolution of God's Spirit and his Word from thought to spoken word to manifested word to reality, because that is God's plan for you and for me. Therefore, in order to do so, let's begin by reading from Hebrews 1 and 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets. Now the King James says by the prophets, but the actual Greek word there is en, which is used almost always as en, in. It was God. The King James translated that by the prophets, but the Greek word is en, which is equivalent to the English word in. God spoke in the prophets. It was God. Thus saith the Lord means the Lord has said thus. Half of these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Again, the King James Version translation by his Son, but the same word "in" is used and does not mean by, but in. Now, the word "in" is a primary preposition denoting a fixed position in place and time. It is translated in the Scripture as the word "in," "at," "upon," and sometimes "but." God in sundry times and in many diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers in his prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us in Son. God changing his mask. God evolving, the Spirit of God evolving from a lawgiver, Moses, to a man full of grace, Jacob, to a man whose conduct was so perfect, Joseph. You see? Couldn't find a fault with him, except for he did lie one time. He said that his brothers were herdsmen instead of shepherds. Now, I'm picking up where we left off last week in paragraph 33 of the invisible union of God. Brother Branham said, and so was God manifested in the beginning. And finally, he would appear as Jehovah God the Father. And then he appeared as God the Son in Jesus Christ. Now, people look at that and they say, well, see, Brother Branham is a Trinitarian. God the Father, God the Son. And then he appeared as God the Son in Jesus. Now he's appeared as God the Holy Ghost, the same God all the time. And so they say, well, wait a minute now. He's the same God all the time, but yet he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I said this for years. When God acted out the role of Son, Jesus said the Son himself can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Jesus had to have God working in him to will and to do, no different from you and I. And when he saw God working in him to will and do, he stepped into the vision and he acted out his role as Son, and he was obedient to that role, therefore making him an obedient Son. And that's what you and I are to do. So if God acted out in Son, it wasn't God the Son, it was the Son of God, but it was God in the Son of God, acting out the role of Son. Jesus stepped into that role. Then God in the Holy Ghost, God in us, God in you and I. It's no different, brother and sister. Look, as Brother Branham often said, in quoting 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. He said, now, Jesus had the entire ocean. He had all of God. Every attribute, every characteristics. You and I have a measure, by measure. But we have the same characteristics, same attributes, but only in a portion. In other words, if I have, as a baby, I have the same arm, the same muscles that I have as an adult, only they're much more exercised, much more pronounced as an adult than they were as a baby. But it's the same person. It's the same muscles. You know, I didn't grow more muscles. My muscles expanded. They got bigger. They got stronger. All right? Jesus was the fullness of... He was a fully mature Son. He expressed God in every way. You and I express God in every way sometimes. To a portion, to a degree. Because we haven't learned to let go and to let God. That's very important. We haven't learned to die to this that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. We're still caught in the transition between what God said and the things that we've learned wrong in school and different places throughout the ages. That's why we're going to see this evening why it's so important not to watch television. Because all it does is mutates. It takes the words of God, twists them into evil. And when you get enough of that twisting, enough of that gnarling, it begins to affect how you reflect the Word of God. From the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branham said, and so God manifested in the beginning. Finally, he would appear as Jehovah, God the Father. Then he appeared as God the Son in Jesus Christ. And now he's appeared as God the Holy Ghost, the same God all the time, three manifestations of the same God. Now we find in this that each generation, God has allotted his word from the beginning, just like evolution. Okay, just like first thing God created probably was, let's say, he created botany life first. Then he created animal life next. Then he created human life next. Kind of an evolution, rising higher. So has it then in God, in his church, justification under Luther, that's pulling his bride out now. He's creating his bride. Justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley and so forth. See, he's the evolution of the Spirit being given more and more because the body is building up to the coming of the head, which is Christ the body. Now, when I see that the body, he says, the evolution of the Spirit being given more and more, I think of those words he says, he's coming more and more into his church. He said, it's word upon upon word upon word upon word building up the body. It's an evolutionary process. Starting with little, building, building, building. Now notice Brother Ram throws out the term that God brought down his creation like an evolution of sorts. And I want to focus our thoughts this morning on this specific thought from our prophet. As we continue reading through this sermon, The Invisible Union of the Bride, picking up in paragraph 83, he said, Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, Joel 2:38, those promises is just exactly like John the Baptist identified himself in the Scripture. Jesus identified himself. What did they say? Away with such a person. John's a wild man. The church wasn't able to receive it. But that's the pattern. Neither will the church receive it today, but to the elected, God's calling, to the elected, they know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the Word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. If Jesus is the Word, how many believe that? All right, then the bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the Word manifested to be the bride of Christ. He promised to do it. He said how he'd do it. Now I want you to look at the evolutionary, because he says, let's begin this hour with Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, John 2:38. And we saw those scriptures in, amen, sing amen. Yet we have other scriptures, the adoption of sons, the manifestation of the sons, plural, of God, being conformed to the image of his firstborn son. And so we see an evolutionary process of one man coming into that image, and now another, and then another, and then another, until the sons of God are conformed to the image of the firstborn son. The way of sheaf has been offered to, before God, and God has accepted it, and now it's ready for harvest. Like when you plant your corn, you just don't go and harvest it all at the same time. You go out there and you harvest a sampling. God, in sundry time, diverse manners, harvested sons in Moses, Elijah, Malachi, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, all through the ages. He's taken a sample. And now comes the harvest time, when the wheat is ready for harvest. Okay, now let's skip forward to the invisible union of the bride, paragraph 97. Brother Branson, Martin Luther saw it for his. Okay, that's another evolving, justification. Wesley saw it for his, another evolving, sanctification. The Pentecostals saw it for his, another evolving. And what about you, he said. What about you? They went into denomination. Now, here's the word condemning it, telling you what we are to have today, and just exactly, Malachi 4 and all these other promises for the hour. What do you see? What are you looking at? Amen. Here we are, the real genuine eagles here. My sheep know my voice, a stranger they can't follow. Why? It was put in there by predestination. You were foreordained to a son of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. You're only manifested in this day for his honor and his glory. How can you do it without honoring his word and standing by every word of God? You see, that's why the head is supported by the body. That means standing by every word of God. Yes, sir, which you are part of that word by predestination. Because look, God is the word. You believe it? Well, then if he always was the word, and then paragraph 100, they ought to have seen it. Them Jews in their day, when they seen it manifested there before them as a prophet said it was, he was. He says, search the scriptures, in them you think that you have eternal life, for they are they that testify of me. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But though you can't believe me, believe the works that I've done. They said, well, our fathers eat manna in the wilderness for 40 years. We know where we're at. And he said, and there everyone dead. That's eternally separated. Everyone died. There was only three. Two come out of 2 million. That's one in a million. An injection, the sperm from male to female, there's usually one egg fertile. There's one egg, one germ, that's fertile. Again, paragraph 108. Now, how can a man, if he was supposed to die in the morning, and a man took my place, I cannot die for that sin. Somebody took my place, and Jesus, the Word, took my place. He became me, a sinner, that I might become him, the Word. Amen. Let me hold true to it, not the church, The Word. Amen. Oh, that spiritual union of Christ in His church now. When the flesh is becoming Word. The flesh is becoming Word. Now see, you can all identify that the spirit in your soul is becoming Word. But He says now, when the flesh is becoming Word and the Word is becoming flesh, manifested, vindicated, just what the Bible said that would happen in this day, it's happening day by day. Why, it's accumulating so fast out of these deserts and things taking place that I couldn't even keep up with it. We're nearing the coming of Jesus to be united with His church where the Word becomes Word. Notice that the Word is becoming flesh and the flesh is becoming the Word. So what does that mean? Listen, you sisters, let me use you for an illustration. When the Bible says not to cut your hair, so you don't cut your hair. What is that? It's obedience to the Word, right? Well, by putting on Christ the Word, you're letting your hair grow out, and now you are reflecting the Word. The same way with the way that you dress, the way that you act. He said, put on the full armor of God, and so you put on the full armor of God. Your flesh is now manifesting His Word. When the Bible says that you wives to submit to your husband, and you submit to him, you are becoming an expression of the Word. Your flesh is Word expressed. Husbands, when the Word says, love your wives even as, or in the same manner that Christ loved the church, you lay down your life for your wife. You are becoming Word expressed in your actions and therefore in your body, in your flesh. You are becoming the expression of the Word. More and more, he says. It's an evolution. That is how we put on Christ, for Christ is the Word. That is how we are dressed by the Word, clothed by the Word, and become the reflection of the Word to this dying generation. Now let's just read some more from the Invisible Union of the Bride, where Brother Branham says, the call of the Holy Spirit searching the hearts. You're standing completely. You never sinned in the first place. God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really from the beginning you were predestined to be a son or daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorce was put away and is dead, absolutely out of existence. Even in the mind of God, you are the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless, Son of God, standing with the pure, unadulterated bride word that He was washed by the water of His own blood that became flesh and manifested that He might take you, which were predestined into the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as He was. Same process Jesus went through, same process you're going through. Now, Paul told us in Ephesians 5:26, we are washed by the washing of the Word. And David said, how did a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. And so we put on Christ by putting on the Word, which is Christ. In Galatians 3:27, we read, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, don't be a dolt. Don't be just like an animal and go around and just, you know, you make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Be a thinking son. Be a mature son. Don't go by habit. Go by knowledge. Go by knowing. Again, from the Invisible Union of the Bride, he said, don't go with the crowd that's moving on yonder, friends. That's Laodicean church age. It could jump up and down and dance under music, lukewarm. Didn't say it was ice cold now. It said it was lukewarm. That's the Pentecostals. And don't know that it's miserable, wretched, and blind. Blind to what? The Word. To the manifestation of the Word. Because it never comes through their organization, they can't see. This is where the body is being honed today so that she fits the head. And that is what Paul meant when he said that the body is growing up into Christ. So we're looking at the evolution of God and His Word and God in us. Now, getting back to the Invisible Union of the Bride, Brother Ram said, and so was God manifested in the beginning. And finally, He would appear as Jehovah God the Father. Then He appeared as God the Son in Jesus Christ. Now He's appeared as God the Holy Ghost, the same God all the time, three manifestations of the same God. Now we find in this last, each generation, God has allotted His Word from the beginning, just like evolution came. Just like, first thing, God created probably, let's say He created botany life first. Then He created animal life next. Then He created human life next. Kind of an evolution, rising higher. So has it been in God, in His church, justification under Luther, sanctification, that's pulling the bride out now, He's creating His bride, justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, and so forth. See, the evolution of the Spirit being given more and more because the body is building, coming to the head, which is Christ, the body of Christ. It's all an evolutionary process. When you first came to this message, I tell you what, you were probably blown out of your socks. Right, Peter? But now it's become second nature to you. It's an evolutionary process. It's a trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. But it's God working in you. Showing you, showing you, showing you. And you know, the more sensitive you become to His showing you, to God working in you His will, the more you will see this flesh respond. And you'll see that it's God working in you, not only to will, what to do. Now, back to the invisible union of the bride. Now, remember, you say, well, we believe this, but we don't believe that. If you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word of God. In St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was the living Word. He always was the Word. He's still the Word. He always will be the Word. He was only a manifestation of the attributes of God, for He was the Son of God. And any son is the attributes of his father, and just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father when he was young boy, you were in him, yet he could not fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of the mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father. Then he could fellowship with you, and so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there even was a moon, star, or molecule. You were sons and daughters of God. And don't you ever forget that. You see, the reason why you make your mistakes as you come into this world and you grow up, and even when you get the Holy Ghost, you still have leanings toward the flesh because you're still overcoming it. It's an evolutionary process. The reason why Jesus didn't have that problem is because he never bypassed his theophany. So he knew when he was with the Father before the foundation of the world, when the sons of God were shouting for joy. He knew. You bypass that. Therefore, you don't know. But I'm telling you, by this word and by the message, you do know now. And sometimes God gives you glimpses of your sonship in a way that's very supernatural. And so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there ever was a moon, star, or molecule. You were sons and daughters of God, for you are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. Remember Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5. For there's only one form of eternal life, that was you before. You don't know nothing about it, neither did you know when you were in your earthly father, but you were manifested in His image, in the image of God you were made, and you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God, and therefore as sure as your genes had to be in your father before your natural birth, your spiritual genes had to be in God, because you're an expression of the attributes of His thoughts before the foundation of the world. That's right. There's no way to get around it. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him or in His presence in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now listen, if God predestined you by the good pleasure of His will to the adoption of sons, you're going to get there. You're going to get there because He saw the finished product before the foundation of the world. He saw the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Then 2,000 years ago, the Son came forth and He said, you know, for this purpose have I come into the world, to be the slain Lamb. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things of Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What a glorious time when we assemble with the saints from all ages and are given our inheritance. When Moses took the people into the promised land, the buildings were already built. The houses were already built. The farms were already, already fertilized. Everything was there. And Moses said, okay, you get to go here. Your family gets to go here. You get to have this. Hallelujah. And Jesus is already preparing a mansion for you, a place for you. From the sermon, Abraham's Grace Covenant, Brother Bram said, so when he came descending from heaven, not another three people left down there talking, but they saw the Holy Spirit like a dove. That's who the Spirit was. Not the third person talking, not three gods, but three offices of the same God. God the Father in the pillar of fire. God the Son in human flesh. God the Holy Ghost in you. The same God. Jesus said that at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, the Father, me, I, you, and you and me. How do you know it? How do you know it? He said, because I'll come and we'll manifest ourselves. How? To you. How? Through you. God trying to get back to fellowship with his creature that he created in the Garden of Eden. He can't disobey his own laws. Man was sinful. When he settled on Mount Sinai, if anyone touched the mountain, must be thrust through with a dart. But when he was made flesh, he couldn't touch him. Now we become part of us, see, to lead us and guide us, fellowship with us again. There was a time when they had the Ark of the Covenant, sat inside the Holiest of Holies. Then you had the inner chamber where only the high priest could go. Then you had the outer chamber where the people brought in their sacrifice to worship. Now the Holiest of Holies, the inner chamber, is in you. When God's very presence has come in you. And how does it get us into fellowship with him? Well, first we have to have the same mind, right? How much fellowship can an astrophysicist have with an elementary child? He would have to come down to the level of the child because the child certainly could not come up to his level. And God said in Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. So what's necessary? If his thoughts are not our thoughts, then Paul said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the doxa, Father, I have given them thy doxa, thy opinions, thy values, thy judgment, that they might be one as we are one. How can you have fellowship with God? By his word. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another by his word. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower. Now remember, the rain is the doctrine. And it comes forth in order to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. My word is being planted in you. The Son of Man came forth sowing seed. And now it's going to bring up. Because it can't come back to me void. It's going to return to me, sons and daughters of God. Notice that my word will bring forth and ye shall do it. It is God working in you to will and then you do it. My word will declare it and you will be the manifestation of that declaration. Is going to be a bride? There is a bride. In Isaiah 64 and 24, God said, New International Version, before they call, I will answer. While you are yet speaking, I will hear. Like I've told you many times about different times that I prayed to God that certain things would happen. And unbeknownst to me, he was already dealing with somebody else to make those things happen. Like the time we got the 200 or the 100 laptops, or the 85 laptops, whatever it was. I was praying that God, you know, if you can get me laptops, I'll fill them up with the message and send them out. Place I don't even know of yet. Meantime, at the very same time, the director of Smith Time Beecham called the regional manager and said, hey, I've got several thousand laptops we want to get rid of to nonprofit organizations, so if you just talk to your people out there in the field, see if anybody knows. And so I had a meeting just an hour later, or 2 hours later, I was praying at 7, had a meeting at 9 o'clock. With the regional manager, he said, before we begin our meetings, that I had a conference call with headquarters 2 hours ago at 7 o'clock, and I was thinking, well, 7 o'clock, I was having a conference call with headquarters. And he said, I've been instructed to let, you know, find out if anybody knows of any nonprofit organizations that need laptops. That's exactly what I was praying for at my headquarters with my father, the boss, 2 hours ago, 7 o'clock in the morning, same time, same conversation, at two places. And so I've had many times I had ministers say, well, the Lord told me to tell me to preach for you. And I said, well, the Lord didn't tell me. You see, God works at both ends. A man came to Brother Collins and said, well, the Lord told me to come here and preach. Brother Collins said, well, the Lord didn't tell him. He said, the Lord already put on my heart why I'm supposed to preach tonight. He said, he didn't tell me that to have you preach. From the New Living Translation, I will answer them before they even call to me. How many times have you needed a certain thing in your life and begin to pray for it? Unbeknownst to you, that thing is already developing. And within moments after you pray, or even a day after you pray, the thing is just there, plain and simple. And all the putting together of the thing took maybe weeks. But before God puts the revelation in your heart, He's already preparing the way. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Hallelujah. Now, from a sermon, what shall I do with Jesus? We're talking about, brothers and sisters, this word becoming a reality. This word manifesting and being of a nature to see it manifest. Brother Brown said, now the Holy Spirit is the word. God is not three. He's the same God in three dispensations, three offices. God the Father over the law, God the Son in grace, and God the Holy Spirit, as you call it. The same God in the Holy Ghost dispensation. God the Father was the Word. God the Father was the Word. Or God the Son was the Word. And God the Holy Ghost is the Word. So then what's the God in you? It's the Word. That's why Brother Brown came to the place when the angel put the sword in his hand. He said, Brother Lee, all my thoughts are of God. And the measure of the Word is the measure of the Spirit. You want to know what measure of the Holy Ghost you have? Where does your mind go when certain things happen? Does it go to the carnal side or does it go to God's Word? It's just three offices. And the Holy Ghost seals you. Therefore, you're sealed by the Word. Now you say, well, I'm sealed by it. Well, then it identifies itself. See? It proves. You can't belong to a system and be sealed with the system and the Word. See? Because it's contrary. One to the other. You can't do it. All right? That's why you can't be a respecter of persons. That's why you can't be a groupie and be a son of God. It doesn't work. That's why the eagle was always different from the chickens. That's why you're different. That's why you don't run after the mega church and all the music programs and everything else, because there's something in your soul that craves the Word. And from his sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed, he said, God the Father was a God that lived in the pillar of fire. He was trying to draw Israel to him. They couldn't come. God the Father lived in the Son, which made him God the Son. Same God, expressed image of God, the seed of God manifest, trying to draw the people to him. They crucified him. God the Holy Ghost is the same God that was at the beginning in the Son of God, and now here, the other office of God in the last days, living in the church, trying to bring the Word, the spoken Word, like all the two offices did, to the people, and they reject it. It's the same thing. It's the three offices or manifestations of one God in action. And God in His people today in action is God in action. See, it's God in the people. You see, it's the evolution of God. From God in the Father, God in the Son, and now God in sons. And so we're looking at the evolution of the Spirit of God in fatherhood, then in sonship, and now in sons. From a sermon the way back, Brother Branham said, God, the great pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel, not a God, not three gods, one God, not three gods, but one God in three offices called Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God, the Father God in a pillar of fire. God the Son in His own Son. God the Holy Ghost in you. The same God all the way condescending, coming down, making His way to get into human hearts. Yes, sir. That was why John In John 17, Jesus said, God has given us his doxa in order for us to become one with him, for God is his doxa. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when God sees his doxa, his opinions, his values, and his judgments expressed through your mouth and your life, it's got to please him as a father, seeing his children expressing him. John 17:20. Neither prayer for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the dose of the opinions, values, and judgment of God, which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as, or in the same way, or the same manner, we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, finished off, and complete, in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, I remember years ago, there are some psychologists, I think it might have been Dr. Dobson or somebody, was talking about the first words out of baby's mouth. And sometimes in a natural carnal family, you hear the first baby's words are cuss words, because that's what daddy says. And they imitate daddy. Well, when you see your children and their first words are, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, or this little light of mine, I'm going to shine. When you see those words reflecting in your children, know one thing, they're expressing their father. And Brother Bram explains this in his sermon, Harvest Time. He says, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something, it never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have the same creed and so forth. Every time they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Notice in the following quote where Brother Bram has what he has to say about the roles that God plays up. Father in the pillar of fire, God the Son in his Son, and the Holy Spirit in the church, but it's the same God all the time. Now, from his sermon, shows the Father, he tells us, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. Said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was the Son himself, the immortal virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude toward the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Don't you see the expression? As I mentioned before, you know, people got kind of carried away with this idea when Brother Bell said, well, you know, Brother Bell was just making a statement. He said, now, let's just say that we're now, you know, in our mind, let's go to imaginary place, and we're saying now we're in the millennium. Or now we're at the wedding supper, he said. And Jesus has come back to earth for the 3.5 years with the wedding supper. And he said, though it's not scriptural, but yet we'll just say he does. And if he does, let's just say he comes in a business suit, blue business suit, he said, and clean shaven. He said, now when you look at that man, do you see God? No. He said, no. The only way you can see God is through the supernatural vindication, because God is invisible. So no matter what vessel God is using at the time, it's not the vessel, it's the God using the vessel.
Amen. Yeah.
That is manifesting. When I laid hands on that man that had the heel cut off, If it was just Brian praying and pulling and everything else, you know, I don't care what words I would have said. Nothing would have happened if God didn't do it. When he said, take charge of the meeting, and had I thought, well, you know what? I mean, I've seen before, there was a terrible thing before that, you know, the roof fell in on the church over here, same area of Uganda. The big winds caused four things, you know, four men were killed and 40 people were injured by the big sheets of metal came down. I'm not going to go to that pulpit. Nothing would have happened. But something in my heart, like a little child, I said, okay, Father, that's what you want, that's what I'll do. And by the time I took the first step, I actually had a mental vision. Now, I had these all the time as a kid. You probably did too, sitting in school, you know, and daydreaming, mental vision. It was just as good as being there because you're out running in the woods or you're out hunting or whatever you're doing. You're just in kind of a mental vision. You're just out doing something. Sometimes I go to bed and I dream all night and I wake up exhausted because I've been so many different places. By the time I took that first step, I saw Jesus sitting up in the boat saying, peace be still. I've been preaching about Jesus was the firstborn in a vast family of brothers, that we were to be conformed to his image. By the time I took my second step, which it's got to be like a fraction of a second. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to take one step and then another step. But between the two is maybe even just 1 second. Maybe 1.5 seconds. I don't know. It's not like the guy that can draw 5 times, you know, and shoot 5 times in 1 second. Not that quick. And I wasn't meandering to the pulpit. I got up to walk to the pulpit like that. But within those two flashes of a second, it seemed like a 30-second mental vision of each one, of Jesus sitting up in the boat, the waves coming in, the apostles getting all scared and everything else, and Jesus sat up, you know, woke up, peace be still. Brother Bram running around the tree, praising the Lord, because the storm in the Colorado mountains was stopped. Eagles screaming down, you know, those things. So I just walked to the pulpit. But the next few steps, the devil got on my back and said, well, if you do, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. And the only thing I could think of, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? I went to the pulpit. I said, let's bow our heads. And I said, Father, you told me, take charge of the meeting. So I'm going to do what your son Jesus did. I'm going to do what your son William Brown did. And I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. And I said, Satan, I know that you're the prince of power of the air. You're doing a good job of it, but your stinger was pulled out on Calvary. You had no more authority. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. And it did. Now, you say, well, wow, that takes a lot of faith. No, it actually doesn't. It's his faith. It's not my faith. It's having trusted his faith. Okay, if you said it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to let you. It's up to you to perform the results. I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. All. Not certain ones. Most churches, I'm the God that heals headaches. But somebody has a tumor, well, go see your doctor. I am the God that healeth diabetes. I'm the God that healeth sugar. I'm the God that healeth vision problems. I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. Cancer, you name it. Heart, you name it. I'm the God. Yes, he's the God. But we have all these distractions. All these distractions. That's the reason they couldn't believe Jesus. They couldn't understand him. He said unto them, search the scriptures. They are they that testify me. Search the scriptures, he said, to those learned priests, scholars. You search the scriptures. They are the ones that testify of me. In other words, I manifest the scriptures. I am making God's word become reality. Are you? Are you? When Silas fell 10 feet, you picked him up, wasn't breathing, didn't know if he had a broken neck, just didn't know. You picked him up like Elijah picked up the little boy. And Silas became a young, breathing child. Yeah. When the cat had a tumor, and you laid your hands on him, God healed the tumor. I've seen tumors. I've seen parts of bodies cut off. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the crippled walk. It's not any power I have. The gift is to get yourself out of the way. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. That's the evolution part. We need to come to the place where we just always just lay it aside. Lay it aside, Brian. Just lay it aside. Don't get angry. Just lay it aside. In other words, say, I manifest the Scripture. I am making God's Word become reality. Search the Scripture. They had their own ideas about it, but He had the right way. They had the way of Messiah was coming probably down the golden corridor and shaking hands with Caiaphas, the high priest. They would come in His way. But look what He come. He never come contrary to the Scripture. He come exactly the way the Scripture said. He says, search the Scriptures. They are they that testify of Me. I make the Scriptures manifest. And if I do not the manifestation by My works, then don't believe Me. Oh, what a statement. A man that could take the written word and make it come to pass right before them, and still by their traditions they turned him down. No wonder broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's right. Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life. Christ is standing there. From a sermon jubilee year, He said, for His word, as we've seen this morning, has to be fulfilled. It's God's thoughts made manifest by His word and brought to our reality. We had the subject this morning of some of the strangers. In the beginning was the word is with God, the word is God. Now the word was in the beginning. But before it was a word is a thought made manifest. God had to think it before He could make it a word. Then He spoke the word and it materialized. And I'd just like to say this. Paul said we were in Him before the foundation of the world. What? As a thought. We have seen that thought in a form called the word. Evolution. In God, evolution. We can hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. And now what? We step into it and we become what God thought before the foundation of the world. You see the evolving process? Don't just leave it here. You got to step into it. We had the subject this morning of some strangers. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Remember, and the Word became flesh. Now the Word was the beginning, but before it was a word is a thought made manifest. God had to think it before it could be made a word. Then God spoke the word and it materialized. Now the same one that sent the Lord Jesus here by His spoken word, it materialized and became the Son of God. It died as an innocent for the guilty to redeem us back to fellowship to God, that we might, who are once alienated from God, can now be brought nigh to God by the offering of the blood of His righteous Son of God. Just as sure as Jesus come to the first time as a Redeemer, He's come a second time as a Bridegroom. He's coming, and although many times we think, well, oh, it's been a long time, and we thought it for this for years, that's what they thought before His first coming, and they're bound to think the same thing by the second coming, because the Bible said that they say there's no difference than what the times of our fathers fell asleep. Remember, where is the promise of His parousia? Where is the promise? But then that hour that you think not is going to happen. Now, if you must. From a sermon, thirst. Brother Adam said, Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. It's even blessed to have that thirst in you. Have you come to the spot that your whole system has been so polluted by denominationalism and little cults and clans and little things, little church orders and social, like joining lodges and so forth from the church to church? Has the devil been able to put the water of pollution and you're slopping out of it like a hog in a trough when you don't even know what the real quenching thirst of God to see Him, a reality by the Holy Spirit living in you, manifesting what? His Word. and from looking unto Jesus. He said, but they failed to look and see that the very God that promised the Word was a vindicating it right there through the person of Jesus Christ, for He was the light of the hour. He was a light for the people to walk in, and only Word of God produces light. Only God's Word produces light. God's Word produces the sunshine. God's Word produces the earth. God's Word produces the air. Everything in the Word of God made manifest. Everything that's got a reality to it. When He was here, He said, I am God, and beside me there is no other. Some looked. Let's take what some other did. Or what some that did. And Paul said in Ephesians 5:13, that which makes manifest is light. Again, Brother Brown said, from we will see Jesus. The Word was a thought, and the thought, a word is a thought expressed. See? Now, it was God's thought, what He was going to do, then He expressed it in a word. And now when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of the Word, it brings it to pass and manifests it and makes it a reality, every word of God. No scripture but what is given by inspiration, and every word of God is perfect and correct, and it will be fulfilled. Every word must be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not fail. Every word of it must be fulfilled. And from God identified Christ of all ages, He said, and until you come in behind the badger skin, until you get out of your old skin, your old thoughts, your old creeds, and come into the presence of God, then the Word becomes a living reality to you. Then you're awakened to the Shekinah glory. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're living in His presence, eating the showbread that's only provided for that day for the believers, priests only. And we are priests and royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, giving spiritual praises, sacrifices to God. But you must come in to behind the veil to see the veil, the unveiled God. And God is unveiled. That's His Word made manifest. So when you see a Son of God manifesting as a Son of God, that is God in that Son manifesting Son of God. So when you see the manifested Word, you're seeing the unveiling of God. Again, He said in the Sermon on Unfailing Realities of God, He said, and when God made man in His own image, He put him on the earth as a lesser God. Jesus declared it when He said, it is not written in your laws that you are gods? And if they call those gods who the Word of God came to, which was the prophets, how can you condemn me when I say that I'm the Son of God? And He said, see, they just couldn't understand it. See, but man was put here with a dominion over the earth. He had everything under His control. What Adam lost, Jesus proved that He had restored. He stopped nature. He raised the dead. He done everything. And the world is groaning today. The Bible said, for the manifestation of the sons of God, for God to get into His children again in reality to make things real, and it stumbles the people. Oh, I'm sure, brother, sister, that it stumbled a lot of people when they heard that I spoke to a storm and the storm stopped. Or that I prayed to God that He changed the temper and the temperature stopped. I'm sure there's a lot of mockers out there. But I'm sure there are a lot of people, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God, that were blessed by what God did. Yet it certainly does, because how are you going to manifest as a son except by doing the works that He did? The works that I do shall you do also. And they call that fanaticism. I call it the Word manifested the same yesterday, today, forever, Christ in you. The hope of glory. The hope of the same opinion, same value, same judgment. Now from a sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He said, we have His picture here on paper. Many of you have seen it. We don't have time to tell you of it. That's not my picture. That's not my picture. I'm your brother. But it's been questioned. What was that? To me, it was the same God that led the children of Israel by a pillar of fire. We all know that that was the Logos, that the angel of the covenant, which was Christ, that led the children of Israel. Christ declared it to be so. He said He was the I Am, that He was in the burning bush, and He was the rock that was in the wilderness. That pillar of fire was made flesh and dwell among us. And when He was here, He said, I come from God and I go back to God. And after His death, burial, and resurrection, when He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he again had the same Logos in the pillar of fire manifested Himself. And remember, Paul said, who is it, Lord? The light was so bright that it would have put Paul's eyes out, yet those standing by couldn't even see it. It was a reality to those who God would reveal it to, but the others who stood by didn't know nothing about it. Thank God for your predestination. From infallibility of God's word, he said, and if he said he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that's the very moment that God perceived the thought, and the thought was created by God himself, and every time God makes a thought, it's a creation, and when he speaks it, it becomes a reality. So every word in this Bible is God's spoken creative thought, and every time it's taken into the right ground, it'll be made manifest. Amen. Then all the spooks drop away, every shadow moves, and we stand anchored. Nothing can shake you then. See, all the superstitions and ups and downs has passed away then. We're right on the word. God can't do nothing but honor that word. He has to keep it. It's him. The word is God. The Bible said so, and it's God's eternal, everlasting word. And to know how perfect he is, then how can he act this way in a crisis and turn around and deny that and act another way in the same crisis? He can't do it. That's why I've said many times, if you look, Brother Brown said there's three ways you know that it's God. He said, first of all, it's quickened in the Word. Secondly, it's quickened in your spirit. What I'm seeing out here, that's this. Thirdly, he said, watch come to pass. Then that is the Word of God manifesting. That's when you step into it and become part of that manifestation. Again, from a sermon, we would see Jesus. Brother Brown said, well, Jesus found that same thing when he came to earth. He found the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and what more, the different orders or organizations and creeds of that day. What did he say to them? By your traditions you have made the commandments of God of none effect. See, I think that searching God through creed or through denomination, it gets it so mysteriously fixed up, and then you find out that it comes right back and denies the word, comes right back and makes the commandments of God of none effect. For instance, you try to find God in saying the Apostles' Creed, and then you come back to find Mark 16 to be made a reality to you. These signs shall follow them that believe. Why, they'll tell you right quick, well, them days of miracles is past. Then what does it do? It takes the commandments of God and makes them of none effect. See, they're not effective. The commandments of God. His commandment is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the gospel came not by word only, but through manifestation of the word, demonstration of the Holy Spirit, making the word live. See, it's the Spirit taking the word. And I believe that is why my missionary trips have been so effective. Because I go to teach and God goes along to demonstrate. And what a team we've made. And that makes the word a reality. When I have brothers come to me years and years later and say, I remember that brother, and they tell a pastor over there, I remember that when that white man came over. He was the only white man we ever seen that wasn't afraid to take on a storm. Why wasn't I afraid? Because God's bigger than the storm. Now, is your God bigger than your problems? Or is he not? If he's not, then live in fear, be my guest. But if he is, every time the angel of the Lord came, what were the first words out of his mouth? Can anybody tell me? Fear not. Good. You can answer. Fear not, for I have come from the presence of God. Fear not. From his sermon, proof of his resurrection, he said, a woman come up to him at the well one time. He said, bring me a drink. She said, why, it's not customary for you Jews to ask Samaritans such things. We have no dealings with. And he said, but if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. Oh, now, she said, well, how could it be? He said, go get your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, well, that's right. You got five. I said, the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. She said, now I know that that's going to be the sign of the Messiah. She said, I know that when Messiah cometh, he will tell us these things, but who are you? He said, I am he that speaketh to you. Now, if that were today, you'd get people fussing, and, you know, who do you think you are? And, you know, well, you didn't say your P's and Q's right, and, you know, sir, I know. Come see a man that told me all the things I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? There you are. What was it? A sign of the Messiah. Amen. Notice. And then there they misunderstood it. They didn't understand what that meant. It blinded their eyes. His miracles and things blinded their eyes. And so is it today. The same things will blind the eyes of the carnal mind because it can't understand the things of God. It can't. It's against God. It's the enemy of God. The human mind is an enemy to God. You've got to get out of your own human mind and be born anew by the Holy Spirit and get the mind of God in you. Then you can believe those things. Then it becomes a reality to you. From a sermon, Melchizedek, the great prince, Brother Rand said, "What a marvelous promise. Two immutable things, God cannot lie and be God." Now, if God has made a promise in His Bible here, we believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God, and if God has made a promise in this Bible, we have this consolation and know that it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, when we see His promise in the Bible, we believe it, soul, body, and spirit, it's impossible for Him to lie. Now, if there's any fault, it's in us, not in God. For God is obligated to His Word, for He's sworn by His Word. Oh my, I'm sure when we get to seeing it in the light, things begin to shape up and heap up different than what they used to be. Healing of the body doesn't become a fiction. It becomes a reality. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't become any emotional, worked up substance. It becomes a reality of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to change the life. You know, why did Brother Branham have Brother Vail get up there before Brother Branham would come out to pray for the sick? Because Brother Vail was there to build faith in the people. Right? To build faith in what? The Word. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Then if you've got any infirmities in the flesh, put on the tapes. Build up your faith. Listen to the Word of God exclusively. Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. Turn off all that stuff that's hindering. Walk in the Word. As if you walk in the light as He is in the light. You have fellowship with Him. And I'm going to tell you something. You will see things happen in your own body. And you will create an atmosphere around you of expectation. Because the Word has become a reality to you. Like the little sister said in Argentina, she said, "Brother Brian, I knew the minute you asked us to bow our heads and you asked God to lower the temperature," she said, "I knew right then I didn't wear enough clothes to church." And she stood there shivering because God had dropped the temperature by 30 degrees. It built a reality. Why do you think I tell these stories? Like, why did Brother Branham tell the stories? Because these are things we have seen God do. And if I can just express to you, you know me as a man, you know me as sometimes a happy man, sometimes a grumpy man. You know me for who I am, all my warts and everything else. Although I don't know if I have any warts, but I have moles. But what I'm saying is this. If God can do it for me, He can do it for you. We're no different. We're human beings, sons and daughters of God. But you've got to expect it. If you just had gone and just, you know, just, well, you know what, I don't know if it'll work, but I'll just hand this little kid. No, I don't think that was in your mind. I think at the time you had compassion for the kid. Lay your hand. I think when you held your grandson in your arms, when he fell 10 feet, couldn't feel him breathing or anything. I think you expected something. And you get what you expect. Also in a sermon, greatest battle that was ever fought, Brother Branham said, it must be accepted in the mind, and it's believed with the heart, then the Word of God becomes a reality. It must be accepted in the mind. Then it's got to be believed in the heart. And when that happens, it becomes a reality. Then every sense of soul and body is just scoured out by the Holy Ghost. Then your sense of God, your conscience of God, everything that's godly flows through you. There's not a doubt anywhere. There's nothing can rise up. There's nothing can come up in the memory and say, well, I remember Miss Jones tried to trust God. Miss So-and-so, Miss Doe tried to trust God for healing one time and she failed. See? But if that channel has been cleared out and been purged and been filled on the inside with the Holy Ghost, that don't even come in memory. No matter about Miss Jones and what she did. It's you and God together, nobody else but you two. There you are, there's your battle. And as the devil got on me, he tried to bring those things Well, you're going to make a fool of yourself. All I could think of was the man with the sign said, I'm a fool for Christ. And on the back said, whose fool are you? When your mind is so full of the Word, it doesn't have room for anything else. It doesn't have room for doubts. As Brother Bosworth would often say, doubt your doubts. One of our presidents said, the only thing that we should fear is fear itself. I say, no, we don't even fear that. Because he said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. From waters of separation. So that's what's the matter with the people today. You come to church, the water of separation. That's all right. You hear the Word, that's very good. You get separated from your sin. But you go out with an intellectual faith, that's the reason you can't believe. That's the reason you go back out and sin the way that you do. The reason you can't hold up from one revival to another. If you let that intellectual faith move down through your brains into your heart, then it becomes a reality with a new birth. Then it'll stay there, anchored forever, God sealed in by the Holy Spirit, and it settles it forever. From proof of the resurrection, he said the human mind is an enemy to God. You've got to get out of your own human mind and be born anew by the Holy Spirit and get the mind of God in you. Then you can believe those things, then it becomes a reality. Amen. And from everlasting life, he said, I believe that it was actually a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Don't you believe that? Or don't you believe that? Just a pillar of fire. See, and I actually believe that that light come into the prison and where Peter was at. Don't you believe that testimony? I believe it with all my heart. Just more than I believe my name is William Branham. I believe that. See? I believe that story. But yet, we have a more stricter fundamental proof of it than that. We do. We have a more stricter fundamental proof. Now, I believe that by faith. And what if the angel of the Lord was standing here now, circling, and every one of your eyes would be visualized to see it? That would be pretty good. But to look at the picture of it is far more proof than what if you was looking at it with your eyes. See? Isn't that right? Because you could have an optical illusion, but that camera won't take an optical illusion. It won't do it because it's a camera. And it'll take the actual picture, and it has to be here to strike the lens. See? You can have an optical illusion and things that look like it is when it's not. See? But when the picture, and it could be psychology, you can say, you see that there? Or you just keep saying, yes, I believe it. And believe it so much till it actually you think you see it when you don't. See? That's right. But that's psychology. It's just got you so mentally pressed toward it till you just imagine it. So imagine it so much till it becomes a reality. You just imagine somebody hates you once. Well, they don't hate you, but you imagine that they do. And you just keep thinking, they don't like me. And the first thing you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you, you'll actually believe that that person doesn't like you. And you might bawl them out or say something to you. For instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that. When the person is absolutely innocent of any ill will or any ill thing. It's because that you just imagine it so till it becomes a reality to you. Now, see what I mean? But actually, when a photograph is taken, it's got to be there. And if the brethren had told me that they saw the three horizontal rainbows over the church, in fact, they just told me, you know, they saw like a horizontal, then they saw a bow, and then they saw... I didn't know it was three different rainbows. I thought it was the same one, just kind of doing things. Right after the meeting, I didn't see any pictures. It wasn't until I came back in 2009, 2 years later, they had made a video. And a brother had videoed the thing, and they had taken pictures and testimonies and everything else. It hit me as a reality. I began to weep. That picture's a reality. It's gone from the invisible to the visible. It's gone from the thought to the word to the reality. It's coming to this dimension. I could think perhaps your minds were playing tricks on them, but when I saw the picture and saw the video and heard the testimony of almost 100 people, I knew it had to be true. And there is no reason for me not to believe it is true if I believe He is God and changes not, and He is not a respecter of persons. Now, from a sermon going beyond the camp, Brother Bram said, for He dwells only in His Word to confirm it. I like that. He dwells in His Word for the reason to confirm it. The Bible said that He watches over His Word to confirm it. Again, from his sermon, the presence of God, and recognize, Brother Brown said, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if he's present, then why? Everything is settled. He made the word. He's here to confirm it. He proves that he'll confirm it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also from his sermon, the spoken word, Brother Brown said, the very same thing. He said, see the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? Then Brother Ram asks a most important question. He says, how can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own beliefs and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this, the day of miracles. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How is it going to be? And then from God, Brother Ram nails this down. He says, the death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. You don't. You say that you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think I'm an illegitimately born, they said, well, we're Abraham's son and need nobody to teach us. Said, if you was Abraham's children, you'd know me. Well, we sat under Lee Bell. We don't need anybody to teach us. Same thing, isn't it? Come on. See, he said, which one of you condemns me of sin? Unbelief. Show me one thing that God promised of me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See, certainly. Said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me with sin, unbelief? See, if I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing every word that he promised? Now, let me see where you got it in yours. And I'd like to say the same question. I teach John 14:12 because I see John 14:12. It's a reality to me. They don't believe John 14:12 because it's not operating in them. That's why they don't believe. If it was operating in them, they'd certainly be preaching it. Again, from the spoken word, he said, the works that Jesus did, if a man has the seed of God in him, now listen to this, if a man has the seed of God in him with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus did was manifested in Jesus. Him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if the same spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. Can't help it. You don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to St. John 14:12. See, you had people sitting right there didn't believe it. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. By their works you shall know them. Amen. He said it. That's when I preached that back in the Spoken Word series. Back, I don't remember what year it was, 2007 or 8 or 9, whatever. That's when I said, hey, I've been seeing this wrong. He said, I'm going to prove whether you're a believer or not. And then he quotes John 14:12. Oh, I'm a believer that John 14:12 was in William Branham. That's not what he said. So I'm going to see whether you are a believer or not. Then he quotes John 14:12. Again, from Spoken Word's original seed, he said, what is it? It's the same seed. Kathy, now how can you plant wheat here and wheat over here and say, I'm going to get cucumbers over here and wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it's a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. And if you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And then if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. So, what's your first step? Get this Word out. Read your Word every day. Listen to it. You know, we got apps today. You can listen to it all night long. You can hear the Word of God all night long. Get as much of that Word in you. Then when the situation arises, that looks familiar. That what's happening there, that looks familiar. Like Brother Branham, in the book of Vision said that he'd be in a foreign country and dark-haired people and it'd be a cold place and there'd be a child laying dead along the road. There'd be a policeman standing there. And they pulled up on that scene And Brother Bram said to the brother with me, he said, open up the fly leaf of your Bible. Read to me what that vision was. He read it. He said, now is that not it? Learning to recognize the spoken word is now the manifested word. That's why he had confidence to go up and lay his hands on that boy, and the boy came back to life. You know what happened? So many believers contacted that person all the time, the guy started denying him. Started denying him, just to get rid of the people. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. See? Now, so if the Word of God's living in you, and the rain of God is falling on you, you can't help but express God, because He's the Word. You see where he's going after a while, don't you? Going over with them with wild boars with Elijah. Got and thought they were gourds, or that school of prophets up there, that denomination they had, gathered some wild gourds, and they thought, well, they were peas. Now, in closing, from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Bram says, then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed, word of God. God's Son was his example seed. You ought to write that in your Bible. God's Son was his example seed. What his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, the same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same things that he did, if it's the same seed. And then here, I should write this one down too. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God seed. Son of God's seed in you will bring forth a manifestation that you are a son. Now, shaming you women with bob hair. Why? You're not manifesting word. Shaming you preachers denying that truth. Why? You're not saying the same things his word says. Say, it's all, you say it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it, but God said it does. We are to be the expression of him. God evolving. His Spirit evolving in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We love you, Lord, and I just pray that you would just fill our minds, Lord, with every thought, jot and tittle, oh God, with every opinion, every attribute, Lord, for your thoughts are your attributes, every opinion that you have, every value you hold dear, every judgment that you have proclaimed. May we express only that which you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you. Now, this afternoon we're going to get into a different subject altogether, and we're still looking at the reality of the word, but we're going to actually talk about coronavirus and all these different viruses. And if you'll notice, every election cycle, whether it's a presidential election or whether it's a midterm election, these viruses seem to somehow come out from nowhere. In fact, most of them come out of China. Right? China has been in bed with our deep state for a long time. And we're going to go into that and show you those things, and I hope that it will give you peace to know. This thing is nothing. As President Trump called it, it's like the common cold. Rush Limbaugh says it's no more than a cold. If you look at all the attributes and characteristics of coronavirus, it's no different than the flu. But the flu has a higher percentage of death. The coronavirus is not killing children, not killing young people. It's killing the old that already have pneumonia, and those people that are all aging, that have physical health problems. The guy in the United States, in his 50s, but he had a lot of physical problems. So it just kind of put him over the edge. It's here to put fear upon the people, but he said, fear not, little flock. Amen. I just sing that song, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.